The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 11th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. A happy Veterans Day to all of those veterans out there, former, current, living in those unfortunately past as well. It is those people, those folks, those women and men who allow us to do the things that we do on a daily basis, that allow us to step into a radio station and put on a headset or talk into a microphone. And so from me to all of you out there, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I have several in my family, past and living, who have served in the military. And, man, I can't thank them enough. And for everybody tuning in who has family or friends or anything like that in the military, have been in the military, thank you for what you do to allow us to do what we do. Lots to get to on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. What a crazy weekend it was. College football happened. College basketball happened. Auburn basketball may have just got the biggest win of the year in this young college basketball season. We'll talk about that. Talk about the results around college football, how the SEC has gotten even more complicated, it seems, as we are in the backstretch, the home stretch, if you will, of the college football season. All that and more here on today's show of On the Line. And joining me in the studio, as he does every Monday and Friday, he's wild, he's crazy, he's your favorite Uncle T-Bone. My man, good to see you. Happy Monday.
Good to be seen. Happy Monday to you, Jacob. It was a heck of a weekend. Auburn basketball gets a massive win and upset over number one Houston in the KenPom in Houston on Saturday night. Ton of action in college football. The playoff implications are as muddy of a pond as ever, but they are will be sifted through here quickly in the next 3 weeks. Alabama makes a massive move. Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss makes a massive move. Georgia beginning to show cracks. Texas making a move. You know, Oregon just keeps on strumming along. Ohio State as well. Huge matchup against undefeated Indiana this weekend. So there is just a massive amount of action happening in college sports. It's that transition season where basketball is in big games as well, or on during big games in football. I know it's a lot to keep up with, but we'll do the best that we can to talk about it today here at On the Line, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday, ESPN 106.7, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Give us a ring at 334-321-1390. And, Jacob, I don't know where you'd like to start today, but since this is a local show, we might as well just start with the big win in Houston with Auburn basketball.
Absolutely.
And how Bruce Pearl and team has just thrown down the gauntlet early in this season and says, we are a player to be watched nationally all year long.
Yeah, the two top teams in the KenPom rankings, of course. You've got KenPom, you've got Net, you've got AP, you've got all sorts of these different rankings. But KenPom is one of the most in-depth rankings for all of the numbers, all of those, the basketball nerds, if you will. We love the KenPom because it just goes so in-depth on what a college basketball team is made of and just how good that they can be. And these were the top two teams in the KenPom rankings. Of course, these are used heavily when the tournament committee is making the seedings for the NCAA tournament. Houston was one. Auburn was two. Tigers go on the road. I don't care that this was considered a neutral site. This was downtown Houston in the Toyota Center. I think they showed Auburn fans one time on TV. There was a good amount of them, but they were outnumbered a lot. Blue and orange versus red and white. This was a road game. that Auburn went and won on Saturday. 74-69. T-Bone, I'll answer the phone. Your initial thoughts on what happened in Houston?
Gritty, tough, just solid basketball played by Auburn Saturday night. You could see it coming kind of against Vermont, who is a tournament team over the last 3 years. And just the absolute bloodbath that that game was by the Tigers winning over 50 points on a tournament team from last year had just come down and upset UAB on its Southern roadie to start the season. And I said his name Friday, and I'm going to continue to say it. And I said it first, and I'm taking credit for it, although everybody knows he's a fantastic player, Tahad Pettiford. Let me tell you what, that guy is a polished baller. Plain and simple, straight up out of the New Jersey playgrounds. You don't want any piece of him. Tough, mean, finesse, got all the passes, got all the shots, and he is going to be someone you better enjoy, Auburn fans, while you have him here, because he's going to the NBA. Fact!
Yeah, he will not be here very, very long, and cannot wait to dive deeper into this game. Auburn wins 74-69 on the road, taking down Houston. Let's get to the phone lines. Lonnie all the way down in Lochapoca. What's up, man? Happy Monday.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Doing fantastic, man. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a nice little refresher down at the beach this weekend and came back, and you know, we watched the game, the basketball game down at the beach, and
with the toes in, with your toes in the sand, Lonnie.
That's right. Let me tell you something that's not Jabba, and that is this basketball team. I don't know where they're going to go. I don't know where they're going to finish. I know we're only a couple of games into the season, but I can promise you one thing. This team is going to be a team to be dealt with.
Chaney Johnson, Lonnie, is an intelligent, physical force mixed in with Janai Broome on the court, who is also an intelligent basketball player. They both create an amazing amount of space in traffic.
Janai Broome, SEC Player of the Week, announced about an hour ago.
You add in a talent to this experienced roster, which includes several people that were on a team that went to the NCAA tournament, won the SEC basketball tournament last season, with this Tahad Pettiford kid, who I'm telling you folks is just a once-in-a-lifetime type talent you'll see at Auburn University, in my opinion, and what he does. He is graceful, physical, and tough.
Can we just not wait for him to retire or anything else? Can we just go ahead and name Gay Street or Thatch or something, Pearl Avenue, and be done with it? For real.
Well, you're talking about a guy who has been one of the most valuable assets, not just to Auburn basketball, not just to Auburn athletics, but to Auburn University in my lifetime. And what he's done is remarkable. Auburn basketball, probably the worst program in the SEC, in one of the worst Power 5 programs in all of college basketball before Coach Pearl arrived. It was the equivalent to years of Brian Harsin coaching your football team in that basketball program. Mistake after mistake and error after error and no talent whatsoever to speak with. And he's crafted a program that does just what it did Saturday night, even with some distractions, Lon, and goes out there and takes care of business on the court. This is a fantastic basketball team. Enjoy the ride, Tiger fans. I'm with you. I don't know where they go, but I can promise you this. If they get in the first round, they ain't going to lose to Yale this year.
Well, let me say this, and I'll let you guys go. And if other people want to call in or whatever, you know, they have their time. But I was a little critical of Pearl myself the last couple of years. And I still maintain that he took a little bit longer than I would have liked to go out and get some longer, larger, wider, stronger type guards, taller guards. But you know what? He did it. And I'm not going to complain anymore, because Tahad Pettiford is 1,000 times better than Aiden Holloway, and that is not debatable.
Boom. There it is. Lonnie, appreciate you calling in. Always appreciate you listening, my friend. 334-321-1390. Tahad Pettiford, 6'1", 175 out of Jersey. And you said it, Lonnie. He can absolutely play because he's physical. And he is going to not just survive in the SEC, I think he's going to thrive in the SEC. And you saw on Saturday night this kid is next level good already. I mean, if the era still existed where kids could go straight from high school and play for the Los Angeles Lakers, he probably could do it. I mean, he's that good.
I'd rather have him than Bronny.
Absolutely. Hey, he scored his first bucket in the G League this weekend.
I mean, this Pettifer kid is just, his footwork is just so elite.
Step back threes were nasty.
He is just there defensively, fearless, and wants to play some. You want to play physical with him? Fine. You want to run? Fine. You want to get finesse style? Fine. You can get all you want. This kid is the Burger King of Auburn basketball. Have it your way. Let's go.
He was the leading scorer for Auburn on Saturday night. 21 points off the bench. 7 of 12 from the floor. 5 of 8 from downtown. Hit both of his free throws. Gave a couple of assists and rebounds as well. Jani Broome was your second leading scorer with 20. I mentioned he's the SEC player of the week.
20 and 9.
Yes. Also had 5 blocks, 2 steals. So he did it on both ends of the floor. Chaney Johnson, 11 and 10. That is unbelievable for Chaney Johnson. If he walks as a double-double this season, Auburn is going
to
be really, really good.
Get used to it, Jacob. That guy has, since he's gotten on campus, well, first of all, Jani Broome, since he's gotten on campus, has remarkably improved as well. I mean, it's just unreal where he was when he first got here and to where he's gotten to. But Chaney Johnson as well, the size of Chaney Johnson is staggering. He has bulked up, but he's quick and he's elusive and he just plays the game so intelligently. And he just creates space for himself when you don't think that there's space for himself. And he's a matchup nightmare. Auburn's got a physical lineup that they can go big when they need to, and they can go really big across the board. And like Lonnie said, they've gotten longer and leaner and tougher at the guard position, including Denver Jones, who plays a lot of point, not to mention Miles Kelly, not to mention J.P. Pegues, from the transfer from Furman. But you say on the bench, he came off the bench, Tahad Pettifer. How long will he be on the bench?
I don't know. And I honestly kind of like him coming off the bench. I'm not going to lie to you. I love Denver Jones and JP starting. They only had 6 combined points and 3 combined assists. That's not good enough for me night in and night out. But you think about it, you can – it's not even a survive situation with your starting five, but you know you're going to have consistency. And then, boom, all of a sudden, here comes the flashy freshman. Here comes the superstar, Tahad Pettifer, off the bench. So when they put their subs in, Auburn puts their subs in, and here comes Pettifer, who's a walking bucket. Like, that's such a threat off the bench. That's such an advantage where, sure, if you take him and put him in the starting lineup, you're going to get off to a hot start, and there's nothing wrong with bringing a J.P. Pegues or Denver Jones off the bench. But I like to have the older guys there in that starting spot, even if they don't play as many minutes, because guess what? J.P. Pegues played 10 minutes less than Tahad Pettifer did, but he got the start at the 2 spot. I'm okay with that. I'm totally cool until Pettifer is able to continue to prove that he gets his feet underneath him and can really adapt to the game. Didn't have any struggles with that on Saturday, but I love Pettifer coming off the bench. I do want to say this as well. Remember how I said last week how this Auburn team will have the benefit of you never know who it's going to be in a game?
Yeah.
Pettifer was this game, right? Yep. Jani is going to be one of your most consistent players. I think Chaney will be in that same spot as well. But think back to game one, where Auburn put up 90-plus points on Vermont because of who? Miles Kelly, who put up 21 points. You know how many points he had on Saturday? 5. And Auburn still won the basketball game.
Yeah,
so the guy who won it for him in game one had almost nothing to do with what they did in game two.
Yeah, what a great asset to – the rotations are the rotations, and Bruce Pearl and his staff are going to do that. They have a plethora of talent. Why not? You can wear people out. You could see Houston getting a little bit more worn out as the game went on, despite the fact that Auburn was down 2 players.
Which we'll talk about in a second.
But the combinations, I'm sure that Bruce Pearl and his staff have drawn up on the whiteboard all offseason preparing for this season are almost limitless, and we have, as fans, just scratched the surface on seeing what are teams going to do when they got Pettifer, Denver Jones, and Miles Kelly on the court at the same time.
There's no way to stop it.
You
and
are
they're
going
good defensively.
To get lit up.
And they're good defensively. I just got a text about Denver. Yeah. He's the best one. He's probably the best defending guard on the team. Crier, the best scorer for Houston, went 3 for 11 the other night.
Well, it's just, I mean, they're so long. They're so tough, and they play hardcore defense. That's something that Bruce Pearl's teams have always done well when they're successful. And you're going to see that all year long. The defense is relentless. Houston's defense was relentless. Okay, well, you want to get in a defensive relentless game? Fine, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the type teams with these different type of combinations that they can adjust to almost any team that comes up on their schedule. I'm trying to figure out a team right now just looking across the board that's going to give them any kind of mismatches night in, night out. And it's hard for me to find that because Auburn's roster is so diverse. And when you got somebody like Chad Baker-Mazzara, who I don't think really had a great game, looked a little out of sync to start the game, who's an excellent talent. I mean, he's a fantastic player who's not having the best game, but I don't know, just kind of hits a jumper late in the game for you when you need it. I mean, there is player after player after player after player on the staff. When someone's down, someone's going to step up. It's almost a given now. Who's it going to be next week? Who's it going to be the week after? You just can't shut down Janai Broome. You just can't try and shut down Pettifer. Good luck with that anyway. They've got player after player.
Well, you saw the video that Auburn put out this weekend, kind of like their big highlight package after the game, and there was a clip of Chad Baker-Mazzara walking into the huddle late in the second half, and he said, "Give it to me. I'll take care of this. I'll win it for us. I'll do my part." And that's what he did. He went for 7 points, 2 of 3 from the floor, knocked down the big three, hit a couple of the free throws, and locked down and sealed the game for Auburn. A guy that had not done anything the entire game.
That's so awesome.
And he said, "I got this." And he did. And he delivered. That shows maturity. That shows that he has grown up just from late last year into early this year for Auburn basketball. And you can just close your eyes, put their faces on a dartboard and throw. And you say, okay, this is the guy we need. And you have a chance for that dude to be the man of the night. Let's read one more text before we get to break. A lot more to talk about with Auburn basketball. Somebody says the high-low game that Auburn is going to be able to create with this team is going to be tough for anyone, and that's exactly right. I mean, you've got just such a great combination of size, skill, guys that are willing to give the basketball up, pass up a good shot for a better shot, or even a better shot for a great shot, and this team never stops moving without the basketball, something that Auburn has fallen into a trap time and time again in years past. That's what this team's going to be able to do. And you can work from the outside in. You can work from the inside out. Auburn has every tool they need to be a top team in college basketball. We're talking more about this when we come back. Just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. Auburn beats Houston, but of course they were in the headlines for the wrong reasons. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'd love to hear from you. Your thoughts on Auburn basketball taking down Houston 74-69 on the road in downtown Houston. Our boy, Steven in Texas, who listens all the time and is such a loyal listener, says he guesstimated 25, maybe 3,000 Auburn fans in downtown Houston on Saturday. He says, "I bet half of them made the trip from the plane," said was very, very loud. And so that's awesome to hear. That's awesome to see. They did not get much airtime, and I still know they were outnumbered. But good to hear and see that. Auburn fans were able to make the trip to Houston, and it's also good to see that Auburn made the trip second time around, of course. Auburn, before the game happened, was in the news for the wrong reasons, trying to get out there on Friday. We saw this news break Friday afternoon when we were on the air. We thought it was a weather issue because details had not come out yet when we were still on the air about what exactly had happened when the team plane got in the air, started flying, headed to Houston. And all of a sudden, it just did a little U-turn and came right back and came back to Auburn and landed at the airport. And so, again, we were under the assumption that it was a weather problem. Well, then more details came out, and turns out there was a little scuffle on the plane. There was a little argument, a disagreement, a little confrontation on the team plane. Auburn had to leave a couple of guys behind and then fly back out late Friday and get into Houston late Friday night into the early hours of Saturday morning. And of course, because it's Auburn, not only did it make local news, not only did it make state news, not only did it make Southeastern Conference news, this made national headlines. This was leading all of the morning news on Saturday, whether it was a TV, radio, newspaper. Nobody could get enough of this story that Auburn's team plane had to turn around because the team got in a fight was the everybody's assumption. That's how everybody described it.
A brawl.
A brawl, yeah. You could see the flight tracker. There was the audio from the pilot to air traffic control. I mean, this was the biggest story of the day in sports on Saturday over something that ended up being really dumb and small anyway. And guess what? Auburn left the two guys at home. They flew back out to Houston, and they still got the job done 74-69. The two young men they left back at home, Ja'Kai Howard and Jaheim Hudson. They left them at home. They said, we don't need you. We're not dealing with this right now. You can stay home and watch us and listen like everybody else. And that's exactly what they did. And good news is, the way we've been talking about Auburn basketball, they're still so deep, and there's still so many dudes. Auburn didn't need them anyway. And they still went and beat the number one team in KenPom 74-69.
You know, I don't know what happened on that initial flight out and regards to the two guys who got that to turn around and drop back off. I would say this, that I hope that Bruce Pearl is reminding them and the entire team that these players, once they put on that Auburn jersey, are not just representing Auburn basketball, but Auburn University as a whole. So let's try and act a little bit more like we're repping a brand as student athletes and have some respect.
Let's act like professionals.
Right.
That's what you are.
And so that being said, it didn't affect the game or the outcome of the game, which is nice. I was getting texts from people, and we did think it was a weather issue. We talked about it right at the end of the show, I believe Friday, that news was breaking. They were coming back for some reason. Bill came in early and was getting ready for the drive, and we were talking about how Dan was stuck out in Denver, Colorado, trying to come back from a Troy's women's game and couldn't get off the ground because the weather was so poor. I had some friends that had a party in New Orleans this weekend, which I didn't attend, and on Facebook I could see other friends who had just left Denver that morning, like last flight out. I mean, so weather had gotten really squirrely all around the Midwest and West, and flights were being delayed and canceled, and airports were getting backed up. So naturally, that's what we thought it was. Oh, no, no.
Psych.
It's going to be a couple of guys deciding to get a little frisky with one another on a plane ride out to a basketball game. I don't know exactly what was happening, whether it was an older player kind of hazing a younger player, and it got a little out of control, a little pushing and shoving. It sounds like at first it was just some jawing back and forth, maybe some trash talking, and then it just got out of hand. But you don't mess around on flights anymore, folks.
Yeah, it's a bad place to get into an altercation. Especially when you're flying 30,000 feet in the air.
Really big guys on a smaller type jet. It was not an Auburn University private jet. I believe that there's a company out of Houston, Texas, that charters all SEC flights. This is their business. And once it's a chartered flight, it becomes a TSA issue. And once there's a report, you're coming back or being grounded.
And Auburn City Police got involved because they got the call that they were coming back.
Apparently, from what I was told from some folks over at the athletic department, when that plane flight landed, it sat there for an hour, no contact by phone for anybody on the flight until it was all sorted out by TSA.
They had
no idea what was going on that flight. So grow up, Ja'Kai Howard, and whomever else it was that got into that scuffle. And don't jabba up a potentially national championship-type season, for crying out loud. And if you're going to continue to do that, take the train.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jakai Howard did not get any sympathy this weekend with the videos that started going around after this news came out. Tell you what, he better fix his attitude. We'll talk about that and what this means for Auburn basketball moving forward, plus big results around the country and college football news. So much more to get to here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. If you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I said going to break that Jakai Howard is not getting any sympathy from any Auburn fan right now because of the video that started to go viral on social media of Auburn's own number three having a bad attitude, I guess is the best way to say that. In the last game, the first game against Vermont, there were what, six, seven, eight different instances where he was watching Miles Kelly or somebody else on the team be successful, knock down shots and having a good time. Where was Jakai Howard? Standing off on the side, hanging his head, hanging his arms, sulking on the way back down the floor, frustrated, shaking his head, disappointed. And what appeared to be a jealousy act because it wasn't him. Because it wasn't the freshman getting the basketball. That it was somebody else who helped Auburn win in the opener against Vermont. So that just conveniently came out when all the plane stuff started coming out too, Uncle T-Bone. Your thoughts on that video? I know you've seen it. Your thoughts on what that video says about him or about where Auburn basketball is right now?
Oh, I mean, I think Auburn basketball is going to be fine, and I think it's in a good place right now. As for the video, I mean, you know, you can take a look at it, just Google it, and it's all popping up on social media, and you kind of see that he's got some very poor body language, or at least appears to begin with. I'm sure Bruce Pearl will have a talk with him, and he'll probably come out in the media, and somebody will ask him about it. I don't know, does he do a weekly news conference? What, on Wednesdays?
Is that right? He does, like, game previews and stuff like that.
So, and I'm sure he'll say it's not that big a deal and it's all good. And I hope that everybody can just take a big, deep breath two games in and let's just not get any kind of job of controversy going with a team that obviously is extremely talented. It's a veteran, salty, and battle-hardened, and looking to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you know, we don't need any kind of distractions. You know, last year at times there seemed to be a few distractions here and there, and it was detrimental to the team, I feel like, especially in the NCAA tournament. There should not be any controversy, and I guarantee there probably won't be any controversy moving forward with Auburn basketball. These types of distractions can cost you chances at championship runs. But can we be real here? Can we be real here? This isn't like he brought a murder weapon to a shootout at on the strip, you know, and you're sitting up in a jail. I mean, you got a couple of guys that got into it on a plane. They got suspended for a game. You got a kid who may have had some poor body language in his first playing time as a freshman at Auburn. It's not like he's waiting for a capital murder trial like some people's former players in the state of Alabama.
Speaking of that, this is not me, but we got a text, and I feel while it is borderline appropriate, inappropriate, I feel it needs to be said. It says Auburn basketball has suspended more players for more games for a charter flight than Alabama did for the fiasco 2 years ago. And we'll leave it at that. Other college basketball news, other college basketball results. Friday night was a great night in college basketball. You had Kansas take down North Carolina in an instant classic, 92-89. That was at Allen Fieldhouse. Love watching two blue bloods get together in historic venues. North Carolina went to Kansas and they fell 92-89. How about Alabama? They had to fight to beat Arkansas State on Friday night, 88-79. They pull away. I think you're going to see more and more of these types of games, not just from Alabama, but just around college basketball. Same aspect that we talk about college football, Uncle T-Bone. Teams like Arkansas State, or how about New Mexico, who beat a top 25 UCLA team on Friday night. That's going to start happening more and more in college basketball. You watch.
Well, I mean, there's always been solid mid-majors in basketball. You know, they can only get better by poaching smaller programs, teams, just like people are trying to poach their roster from their good programs.
Or, so, heck, I think they can even poach big programs. You go get a freshman that didn't play who's a 4 or 5 star.
Well, where's the guy that Auburn talked to for a hot minute that had all the problems in the offseason, was looking to transfer in here? Where did he end up? You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember his name. My apologies. He was at Pitt for one season and then at Oregon for a little bit, got in trouble for choking his girlfriend out, allegedly.
Okay. I don't think he ended up anywhere. I could be wrong.
He did.
I could be wrong.
So, I mean, you're talking about a player like that, say, landing at Arkansas State or
West Alabama, or
New Mexico State or whatever, and he gets hot in a night like Miles Kelly gets hot, and he's going to give you problems.
Ole Miss, a top 25 team, struggled with Grambling Friday night, 66-64. They escaped that one as well. You get into Saturday's college basketball action. Of course, Auburn beating Houston. Baylor, after getting just smacked around by Gonzaga the other night, they bounce back and beat Arkansas 72-67. Coach Cal 1-1 now in his new tenure there.
I watched some of that game because it was on the channel on ESPNU preceding the Auburn-Houston game, so actually I watched a good bit of that game. Was impressed by both of those programs. Arkansas looks like this quintessential Cal team that's going to be long and athletic and run the court on you. I still think there's a few holes in that roster a little bit compared to what I saw with Baylor. Both teams very well coached. It was weird seeing Coach Cal in the red on the side.
In red.
It
does
deep
look weird.
Red, too.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that just doesn't look right. But you know what? He looked like, honestly, like he was having fun coaching. Like the stress of being the blue blood coach at Kentucky didn't seem to quite be there. Like sometimes you could just see it in his face over the last couple of seasons.
Sure.
The guy looked really tired.
Well, he didn't win for so long. I mean, the stress just built up for him, and they were just on him time and time again. I'm with you. I think he has looked a little bit more, I don't know, free maybe is the way to describe that. And, man, you got to think, though, that Arkansas team is built up of most of his Kentucky players that he brought with him. So if you expect to see anything different than you did in the past, I don't know if that's going to happen. Tennessee goes on the road at the KFC Yum Center and takes down Louisville 77-55. I really do hope Louisville gets back to being relevant in college basketball. I think they will. It's just going to take them a little bit. So Tennessee, they get a big win on the road on Saturday. A couple of the teams who were in action yesterday, Gonzaga has to escape Arizona State. That's a sneaky good Arizona State team. Watch out for them out west. And then Creighton gets a big win. Indiana gets a big win as well. So college basketball rolls on, man. And there's some games tonight, right? Ohio State plays tonight. Alabama plays tonight. And Florida plays tonight.
Yeah, Alabama with a monumental matchup against McNeese State tonight. This will be their third kind of cupcake game in a row.
Their schedule ramps up, though.
It does ramp up finally here shortly. They'll take on Illinois, I believe, Friday, and then move into a deeper part of their schedule, which includes Purdue University, but they had some bad news with a bad injury for Purdue. Big man who's gone out, won't be playing the rest of the season.
Yeah, Alabama, after they play McNeese tonight, they will play at Purdue, Illinois, Houston, Rutgers, North Carolina, and Creighton all in a row. All in a row. That's an Illinois team that should be ranked in the top 25. They're not. Purdue's 13, Houston's 8, Rutgers 24, North Carolina 10, Creighton at 14. That's nasty work. That is nasty, nasty work. And Alabama's going to figure out just exactly how good they are in a setting like that where they're playing just back to back to back. And so I mentioned that Florida plays tonight because we saw and heard and discussed very briefly on Friday the news about Todd Golden. And as everything I can find, all reports point to he's going to coach tonight. He's going to be on the sidelines for that Florida basketball team. Which, I mean, what a what a sticky situation. What a weird situation. I don't know how you properly handle that if you are the athletic director at Florida, if you're the athletic department at Florida. I mean, good news is, in America, you're innocent until proven guilty. But, man, when you're in the midst of a legitimate investigation like this, where there seems to be some pretty hard evidence here, and you're dealing with Title IX issues, I don't know. I just don't think coaching is the right answer. I don't think allowing him to be a representative of your university until he's proven innocent, or I guess until it's fully that he's innocent, I don't know. I think it's a touchy situation where just letting him coach is probably not the right idea.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a sticky wicket of a type of situation just from the initial reporting. I'm with you. I just don't think that you in that, if any of that of what is being reported is true about him, he will no longer be a representative of the University of Florida, probably won't be coaching anywhere for quite some time around collegiate athletes or any type of student athlete to begin with. So, you know, I'm with you. I think that, they know something we don't, but, you know, also institutions, whether people like it or not, are always about protecting institutions. So we'll see what happens with that story, but what a dirty story it is.
The player you were referencing earlier, by the way, Christian texted in, Dior Johnson.
Who That's is, right.
He's the player. He's now at UCF right now.
Yeah, so he ended up at Central Florida. You know, he was a heck of a ball player.
He was a good player, just couldn't stay out of his own way.
Well, I mean, the juice there was not worth the squeeze for Auburn University to take the risk on that. But you know what? They talked to him. And there's a reason they talk to him, and it's because he's a baller. So you go up against somebody like that who gets hot and drops 30 on you in a night, they can get you.
Speaking of results and storylines, why don't we flip over to the college football side of things, where it was another crazy weekend in college football. Again, phone lines are open. Give us a call. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. Oregon pulls away from Maryland in the second half. Ohio State makes good of a terrible Purdue team. And then you get to it, number 3, Georgia, on the road at Ole Miss. I have to eat my words. I do. I have to stand in here and eat my words. Yeah. I called Lane Kiffin a loser on Friday. I did. I said he was a loser because he had yet to win a game like this in his career, and he finally did it. Whether you think Georgia is what they were or not, because I don't, but that's still a top 3 team at your house to keep your playoff hopes alive, and Ole Miss gets it done 28-10.
You know, you could just finally feel this one coming. For Lane Kiffin, we said it Friday. We all agreed it was now or never for him in a big time game situation, beyond a signature win type situation. I mean, the hopes and dreams of Ole Miss football for the rest of the season were on the line here. Was he going to finally break through or not? You know, and then I also have to question with the rest of the season, will he be able to close out the deal?
That's a big question too.
Lane Kiffin make some weird choices against Mississippi State in Egg Bowls. Next thing you know, they're on the ropes. Next thing you know, they're pressing. Next thing you know, the rumors are always talking about going to somewhere else. So congratulations to Ole Miss. I had the Rebels winning this game. I just kind of felt like it was one of those times. This was it. It was now or never. The game after, and I'll tell you another thing about Georgia. You could also kind of feel this coming on their side. There's been some weird stories, not just locally but nationally on ESPN and other places, Jacob, basically asking what's wrong with Carson Beck. I mean,
he has gone downhill.
And
fast.
He has gone downhill. It's not like that he's, been terrible, though. It's like what the standard y'all are looking for is perfection, and he's not there, but – it's even harsher than that now. I mean, he looked bad. They don't have weapons. They don't have a go-to guy like they did with Brock Bowers, which is a once-in-a-lifetime tight end. But they haven't done a good job over there for quite some time getting weapons on the outside and for real difference makers at wide receiver. They've had serviceable guys. At times, the McConkey guy was kind of their explosive player. And he, you know, you got to have some big-time talent on the outside that can make plays if you're going to win a national championship. And they don't have that at Georgia right now.
You got to have guys that can help your quarterback out. I mean, help your guy if he's not doing well or if he needs somebody to bail him out. And you're right. Georgia just can't seem to find that guy right now. And I want to pose this question as we get to break, and we can answer it on the other side. This result, Ole Miss 28, Georgia 10, does this say more about Ole Miss and where they are and where they're heading with two games to play? Or does this say more about where Georgia is and where they are with a few games to play? We'll talk about that as we wrap up hour number one after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Final segment of the hour here on the Monday edition of On the Line. I posed a question as we went to break, T-Bone. Time to answer it. Ole Miss beats Georgia 28-10. Got a ton more results to talk about. Mm-hmm. We'll carry this into hour number two. But in what could be the biggest result in the SEC, and that's even with the Alabama-LSU outcome as well, does it say more, right, again, Ole Miss beats Georgia 28-10. Does this say more about where Ole Miss is and where they're going with two games to play? Or does this say more about where Georgia is and where they're going with three games to play? Your answer.
I do think it's Georgia. This something's not right over there in Athens. You know, obviously off
maybe the everything field. Happening off the field's finally
well,
getting to
well, that's what I was about
them.
To say. I mean, you know, they've had plenty of issues off the field. And
had another incident Saturday night.
And it just never seems to stop over there. And I think that the stress of it all, not to mention the fact that the modern-day football coach must be able to just let stuff roll off their back. And that's why I think Lane Kiffin's the perfect modern-day college football coach. He's on social media poking fun at people. They lose to Kentucky. He doesn't really worry about it. People are trying to take his coaches and roster, whatever. He's just doing his thing. You know, Kirby Smart's an old-school coach, and these coaches are getting sick and tired. You heard about it in today in Hugh Freeze's press conference of having to constantly recruit their own roster. I was told by some South Carolina friends of mine, there's a player over there, not to be named, that's having a really good season, has already told the coaches he's going to have 1.5 next year. He's gone. And their coaches are furious about it. And he's like, finally, they had a huge talk about it. And he said it straight up. Y'all can leave anytime you want to and get paid. Why can't I? And so I think Kirby Smart is cruising towards a hot-headed meltdown rant breakdown. Like
really?
I really do, almost to the point, like, I'm going to just coach in the pros. I don't have to worry about this crap anymore. And well, I wouldn't blame him, but, the rules in the game are what they are. You're making 12, 15 minutes. And let me stop there, too. And on the field, where is Georgia's run attack? Remember how bad Georgia used to bludgeon people?
Yeah.
Let me tell you another thing, too.
I think they got some injury. I know they got some injury problems.
Mike Bobo, you ain't no Todd Monken. You don't know how many Georgia fans I've heard from over the weekend who have had about enough of Mike Bobo again.
Again. We understand.
Yeah, and they understand, and we understand, and we know that they understand, and they know that we understand.
But what's crazy is if you're predicting that there's a breakdown, right, a relapse of Kirby Smart, I'm surprised that it didn't happen today when he was asked about his player celebrating the Ole Miss victory after the game. Everybody has seen the video. If you haven't, look it up. Mm-hmm. It's a Georgia player celebrating with Ole Miss players and families after Georgia loses. Now, there's a quick backstory there. All these kids went to Buford High School together. And it's funny because Christian Griffin, who a good friend of the program and joins us on Tuesdays and Fridays, he graduated with all those kids. He's a Buford grad. And so he knows those kids very well, very personally, and they all went to school together. And so said Georgia player was celebrating with Ole Miss fans and players because they all reunion, or I guess they had a reunion on the field or whatever. Doesn't make it okay, but there's at least a story behind it. And Kirby was asked about it, and I don't know how to feel about this. I think it's quite funny, to be honest with you. Kirby said, "What an idiot." called his player an idiot and said, that's just unacceptable. That can't happen. And he ended the question. He ended his answer, T-Bone, by saying, frankly, I don't have time for stuff like this. I'm focused on Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't know if calling your own players an idiot in public's the
I don't think it's the right
pathway to maintaining your roster and your connection with players. I mean, it's one thing to get on to folks, keep it in the locker room, keep it on the practice field, you know what I'm saying. But when you start and listen, there is a backstory to it. The kid has been under so much pressure by rival fans who've been waiting to take a shot at Georgia because they've had so much success and they're rubbing it in their face, and by Georgia fans themselves who did not like losing that game and know that their pathway to the college football playoffs is in jeopardy now. Jake Pope, I believe, is the kid's name. He had to release a statement, you know, apologizing for seeing some old buddies and being excited to see them when there was a lot going on in field after the game. You know, my longtime family friends had come up to me unexpectedly after the game. Quote, I was trying to get off the field to safety and were extremely excited to see me after the game. I was also surprised to see them. That's why you saw the reaction I gave via the video. I mean,
what an idiot.
What an idiot, Kirby. You know, as an idiot, sometimes it's Kirby Smart. He looked like one coaching Saturday because his defense were made to look like idiots by Lane Kiffin.
And their offense could not do a thing. Lots more to get to on the Monday edition of On the Line. Tons more college football. What the heck is happening in this sport? We got a lot more coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch it with the podcast. It's on our station website at ESPNAU.com. I will say there are some days, Fridays right now are pretty crazy. A day like today, it's kind of tougher too to get the podcast uploaded immediately. I do my best to get it up there for you. Thankfully, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, when our intern Noah is here, he's able to get it posted fairly quickly. But there's some days I just got to run out of the studio. Like today, I got Auburn High basketball broadcast tonight. The girls start at 5, and I'm off the air at 4. So you can see how there's just not much time in between those two. And so I promise I do my best to get it uploaded for you on our station website at ESPNAU.com. So I do ask for a little bit of patience on that. But in hour number one, talked a lot of college basketball as Auburn gets a huge win over Houston this weekend, barring and through all of the challenges that they put on themselves. They were still able to get a win. Other big-time results around college basketball as well. And then the back half of the hour, we were talking college football and all the big results, especially Georgia and Ole Miss and what that says about both of those squads. And we're continuing all of that here in hour number two. Plus, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us. We'll get updates from Auburn basketball, around Auburn athletics, and things you need to know from the Auburn Sports Network, including Tiger Talk tonight, more basketball broadcast and football broadcast as well. Before we get into content, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. Your thoughts on college football this weekend. Who in the heck's going to win the SEC? It's just gotten murkier by the day, by the week, really. It's just up for grabs for just about anybody in the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah.
So you can give us a call or you can shoot us a text, 334-784-1067. T-Bone, we talked a lot about Georgia Ole Miss, but the other big-time result in the SEC was Alabama, who went down to Baton Rouge and absolutely beat down the Tigers. This was such a Brian Kelly-looking game. I mean, it really, really was. He's been such a good coach for so long, but notice how I didn't say great. He's been a really good coach for a long time, and he gets his teams ready to go. He's got a lot of talent. They're always going to be competitive. But there's always one of these types of games, right, where the hype is there, the buildup is there, the implications, whatever that may be, are there, and his team just flat out doesn't show up. And you let an Alabama team that's been reeling the past couple of weeks come in and embarrass you in Death Valley, where by the time the game was over, the stands were completely empty. They left early at Tiger Stadium. That doesn't happen at LSU. Tide wins 42-13.
They abandoned Tiger Stadium like midway through the third quarter.
They couldn't get out of there fast enough.
It was a ghost town.
I've never seen that.
Whole sections of the stadium were just gone.
I didn't know what color the seats were until Saturday night.
Brian Fisher, some type of college football guru over there, the Twitter text, record against ranked teams the last 4 years. Kalen DeBoer, 14-3. Marcus Freeman, now the coach at Notre Dame that took Brian Kelly's place, 10-5. Brian Kelly, 5-8. I mean, he's beating up on bad teams. That's all there is to it. When he goes up against a good team, a ranked team, over the last 4 years, he's 5-8.
That includes 1-3 this year.
You know, LSU has every advantage in the world that Auburn doesn't. Plenty of talent in a state. No in-state rival that's trying to beat your brains in 24-7, 365. And they continually fall short. I don't get it. I used to talk about this ad nauseum when I was younger. Georgia and LSU will always, always have more talent than Auburn. And for the longest time, Auburn was so much better than both of those teams when they'd play heads up.
Even when Auburn goes to Georgia or Alabama.
Not over the last 5 years, but for a long time.
Yeah, when Alabama goes to Louisiana.
Let me talk about a program that did have some success once Nick Saban got there. I'll give them that. But historically has done more with less. I mean, less with more. Same with Georgia until Kirby Smart got there. Do less with more.
But yet they've still won a national championship in the past 5 years.
Yeah. It seems like 15 years ago.
It does.
That program should never get dominated on its home field in a big moment, 42-13, to a team that lost to Vanderbilt earlier in the year.
Does anybody really think that Alabama team is more talented than LSU, top to bottom, through and through? Are they that much more talented?
I mean, I think that they are more talented, but not that much more.
I agree. I think they are, but
called
not 42-13.
Called this one on Friday, too, not to toot Uncle T's horn.
Yeah, all right, first time all year, you can do it. Go ahead.
I mean,
go ahead. I've been on it for weeks.
What did I say? They will line up and play smash mouth football and pound LSU. LSU is a one-dimensional team offensively that had success running the ball early in that game and just abandoned running the ball and wouldn't get into a back alley brawl with Alabama. They wanted to throw it and throw it and throw it, and Bama. And I'm going to give this to Kalen DeBoer because I hadn't seen this from him yet this year. I don't think that he – when you think about offensive minds in college football, do you think – when you talk about power running, you think about Kalen DeBoer?
No.
This season, you know, just like last couple years at Washington, they've been throwing the football around. There's been opportunities for Alabama to line up and play smash-mouth football. They really haven't done it consistently, but they did it Saturday night. They took the weakness that LSU had, made it a strength for them, and continue to do it the entire night until they broke LSU's will. That is something I haven't seen a whole lot of Kalen DeBoer do this year offensively. It seems like he's just been trying to run his system. It's something that I think Auburn coaches, and I wish they would have earlier in the season, taken a note of, which I think that we on this show and callers and fans have been trying to say the whole year, if you can run the frickin' football, Hugh, run the ball. Why do you abandon the run? But Brian Kelly didn't want to run the ball. He doesn't want to run the ball. They had success early. He quit running the ball. And Alabama said, we're going to play a little game of smash mouth football tonight. We're going to see if you respond. And they didn't.
I'm going to make a statement. I think in Kalen DeBoer's first year at Alabama, this is their best win by far. I think this is their best win.
One of the better wins in the SEC this year.
And I think it's because of everything that was riding on this game. I know the Georgia game was great, but I think we all can agree that at that time, Georgia, if they don't hurt themselves and go down big, you give Georgia 15 more minutes, they win that game by double digits.
Maybe 5 more minutes.
Right. And you look through the rest of their schedule. South Carolina was a good win that South Carolina gave them. Missouri's a terrible team, so
But did Alabama fans feel like after they beat South Carolina that they won the game?
No.
No, Alabama fans aren't satisfied with just winning. They have to beat the hell out of you.
And
that is part of a cheer.
That was sandwiched in between a loss to Vanderbilt and Tennessee, right?
Yeah, so they were in disarray right around then and in real jeopardy of losing that South Carolina game. They all kind of whistled past the graveyard on that one. Jacob, Jalen Milroe is a heck of an athlete. I don't think that he's going to be some type of great NFL quarterback.
Your Cowboys don't want him?
I mean, he's better what they got. Probably better than Dak right now, too, if you want to know the truth.
Well, Dak's out for the year.
109 passing yards against LSU. Had you told me on Friday, Uncle T, Alabama would only have 109 passing yards against LSU, I'd think that they got killed.
I agree.
311 rushing yards. They said, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to pound you, which is the best thing you can do with Jalen Milroe. And what I liked early about what they did in that game is, yeah, they threw the ball a little bit more in the early in the game, it seemed. It wasn't these down 25-yard, you know, passes where someone's breaking the outside and you got to put it right on the money. They started off the game slowly with short passes, with rollout passes, throwing the ball to the running backs, throwing the ball tight end, and let him get confidence. And that gave LSU just enough confidence that Alabama was going to try and pass all night. And then they pivoted to that power run, and there was no answer.
And
why can't Auburn start games with shorter passes? Also, like Lane Kiffin did against Georgia, how many times did he hit a running back coming out of the backfield across the middle of the field? We don't ever see that here.
According to Hugh Freeze today, that's what the offseason was about. They were doing it this morning, Uncle T-Bone. They were sitting in offensive meetings with the offensive staff comparing what they're running, which is similar to what others are running, according to Hugh Freeze, and they were studying other offenses and why they can score and Auburn cannot.
Yeah, I just don't see other teams running a lot of wildcat. I mean, do you?
I don't see other teams.
I mean, I guess what Alabama did in essence last against LSU was some type of modified wildcat where they just stacked the box back there, snapped it to Jalen Milroe and ran counters behind big-time blockers. But, you know, with him, at least there's a threat to throw. You put Jarquez Hunter back there in the Wildcat, it's a run.
But
he's not throwing the ball.
We've been saying all year, let Peyton Thorne run.
Well,
his best assets running the ball. Peyton Thorne's is. And now we're in a position, of course, where we don't know who the heck's going to start a quarterback this weekend, because apparently Peyton Thorne didn't practice all week because he had a shoulder problem. So now we're into the mode of, okay, is it Hank Brown, Walker White, whoever? And so Hugh Freeze and the gang are trying to figure out why Auburn can't score and other teams can.
Jalen Milroe goes 12 carries, 185 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's 15.4 yards per carry. That is ridiculous. But when you're pounding on somebody like that, Jacob, keep pounding on them. Good for Alabama for not just, well, we're, you know, let's, in the back of my mind, did Kalen DeBoer come into a press conference today and say, wow, the whole time, man, I was just thinking while we were pounding it down their throats that in the back of my mind, I wanted to throw it. I mean, when something is working,
you do it.
Do it until they stop it. And good for Nick Sheridan, the offensive coordinator for Alabama. They were up by so many points, and that game was in such control. Like 7-8 minutes left, he just walked down the sidelines and started hugging people. He just left the booth.
He did. I saw that.
I mean, talk about a complete dismantling of Brian Kelly and that football team. I mean, that was just such a beatdown. It was. I mean, 311 rushing yards. How many carries did they have?
How many non-quarterback carries did they have? I don't have the game pulled up.
Hold on, I'll go back to that really quickly. I mean, there were a good many.
Somebody just texted.
Jamaria Miller goes for 13 carries. Ricky Ortiz. Who is Ricky Ortiz? He had 6 carries. Justice Haynes had 8. Ryan Williams had 1. Kendrick Law had 3. Daniel Hill had 2. Ty Simpson, that's a quarterback. We won't count him. That is 33 other carries, not counting the 13, 12 by Jalen Milroe and 1 by Tyler Simpson at quarterback. They had 33 other carries in that game. Jalen Milroe had a 12 additional. I mean, dude, if you can run the ball, man, there's still a place for it in college football. Just do it with the personnel. What a modification of their personnel. You know,
yeah,
Jalen Milroe has not been the world beater throwing the ball. Now, he throws a pretty deep ball. He threw a really pretty one that Ryan Williams almost got to in that game. I've said that for years. He throws maybe the best bomb in college football. But, you know, he's not Joe Montana. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Willie Namath. I mean, he's just an athlete back there playing quarterback, and they're like, you know what?
Let's change our offense.
Let's play to our strengths. And if they do that the rest of the season, they can win the national championship easily.
They're going to compete for a national title. You better believe it. Just had somebody text in about Auburn as we take a break, and it says, we're trying to figure out how to score in week 12. Seriously?
Well, I mean, that's just, I mean, you know, tell me you're not doing your job well by telling me you're not doing, without telling me you're not doing your job well. Well, we're looking at other offenses trying to figure out how to score. I mean, really? Do you not have analysts that aren't constantly watching film of other games and pulling plays that are really cool and effective in key situations and saying, you know what, let's try and incorporate 5 of these plays into the playbook next week? I don't think that we're capable of changing from week to week. I'm serious when I say that. And I don't know what the disconnect is, but in big boy football, you got to be able to do what Alabama just did and change to your strengths personnel-wise against the weaknesses of your opponent week to week, and we haven't done that this year.
Let's take a break. Hour number 2 continues after this. Ty the Tiger, you're up first when we come back on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Ty the Tiger, appreciate you holding on through the break, man. How are you?
Man, doing amazing on this beautiful Veterans Day, man. Happy Veterans Day to all the people who serve for our country.
Absolutely.
You know, it's one thing to just sign up for the military, but to actually go into combat, man, that's a whole nother ballgame, man. And I appreciate every single one of you guys out there. Now, I did hear you naming off, man, Joe Montana, you know, Willie, Smoking Willie, and all of them, and Dan Marino. But I'm going to tell you who he did look like. He looked like Michael Vick. He looked like a reincarcerated Michael Vick, or even nowadays a Lamar Jackson. I mean, the kid is an athlete, and
he's strong.
You can run the ball that much and that effective, the passing lanes are just wide open because you've got to respect it.
He's so quick too, Ty. You know it. He's so quick in the open field. I mean, he outran LSU defenders on Saturday night.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think he might have been a little banged up against Vandy and some other against Tennessee and stuff. He didn't look like that versus them.
The problem with him, Ty, is when Alabama decides to do set runs, and he knows pre-snap that he is running the football, he does not fumble,
and he is a shifty, powerful, fast running back who does have the potential to throw the ball if they need to mix it up. What you got to do with him is hopefully they're not – you got to stop that counter play with him somehow, and you have to try and get Alabama into more pass mode, take your chances on, you know, defending Ryan Hollywood Williams and bring pressure on him. When he has to scramble, that ball gets loose and it's going down on the turf a bunch. But when he's running the ball and it's a preset run play,
good luck.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to really talk about Auburn football except for recruiting. You see where Ole Miss flipped a three-star cornerback from us today, and the word on the street is Deuce is next. Yep. Deuce was at the game, rushed the field, but I don't so much believe in all that. I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if Lane Kiffin's going to be there next weekend, next year if they don't make the playoffs.
Where do you think he goes?
Like some smash. I thought it was going to be Florida, but it seems like Florida is sticking with Napier, so I'm not sure. But I'm not too sure. But I just don't think he'll stay at Ole Miss. I just think that they don't have enough to keep him happy. I don't think, you know, he's constantly yelling about their NIL and all that kind of stuff. So I think there's going to be something, you know, that comes up that is going to be more attractive to him. And
I still think he'd be dumb to leave, man. I really do. I think it would be the dumbest move of his career to leave Ole Miss, because there's a good chance they may never fire him.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but he is a pretty boy from California, and he likes the spotlight. There's not enough spotlight at Ole Miss for that dude.
What, in Oxford? You're saying there's not enough spotlight in Oxford, Mississippi, Ty? Come on now.
Man, look, they ain't been relevant in forever. And now he is making them relevant, and I think he'll use it as a launching pad. It might be this year. It might be a couple years. But either way.
I'll tell you what, Ty.
That's all I'm going to say about Auburn football. But, you know, like I told you 2 weeks ago, we moved on to basketball, baby.
That's right.
How about them Auburn Tigers? Woo! And that man, that win was the – I heard the announcer say this, and I wanted to check. It's the first not top four – non-conference regular season win that we've ever had.
Yep.
And that is something. I mean, Bruce just adds another notch into his belt of what he's done at Auburn University, and that just was amazing. I watched the game, guys, and normally a lot of them Auburn teams, they would have just kept you know, just kind of slipping away and letting that big boy, you know, fight, just let it go. This time, man, we fought it. We fought a good fight, and we did a good job, and we stayed true to our game plan. We stayed true to what we do, feeding the ball to Broom. Not only that, Pettiford looked just amazing. He looked like the five-star he actually is.
That's right. Well, hey, I'll say this, Ty, and we appreciate the call, brother. Always great to hear from you. I'm going to say this. That's a game that former Auburn teams typically have found a way to lose. Auburn on Saturday found a way to win, Uncle T-Bone. That's what Auburn did Saturday night. That was the difference this year in terms of compared to what they've done in the past. And so that's what's exciting about that. And, yes, Ty is correct on the stat there. I think this will go down. This goes down as one of the biggest regular season wins that Auburn has ever had under Bruce Pearl. I really do think that, just given all the circumstances, given the numbers and everything else, I think that will go down as one of his best wins on his Auburn resume. And again, Ty, we appreciate the call, brother. Always great to hear from you.
So he mentions former Auburn commit Dante Core, defensive back out of Florida, three-star. Everyone thinks more like a four-star, had decommitted from Auburn. This has kind of been in the works for a hot minute. Now he's over at Ole Miss. Ole Miss trying to make a move on five-star wide receiver Caleb Cunningham.
Who received a crystal ball this weekend for Ole Miss.
Yeah, who Auburn was once hot and heavy over, and then Alabama got a commitment out of. And then there's Deuce Knight, the Auburn commitment, the five-star quarterback out of Mississippi who was with Notre Dame, flipped to Auburn. I had been told a couple of weeks ago that Ole Miss was all over him from Ole Miss people,
and they were not going to let up, that Lane Kiffin is all up in that family's ear. That is going to be a fight that goes down to signing day. I can say this, if Deuce Nice does flip to Ole Miss, can we please go take that Austin Simmons quarterback that came in and was the backup for Jackson Dart and
he
bring
could,
him over NIL
he
transfer
could
portal
sling
wise?
It.
6'4", 215, the left-handed kid out of Winter Haven, Florida, came in and was Tua Jr., just fearless coming off the bench. And just like Tua did to Georgia in the national championship game a few years ago, just came in and drove Ole Miss right down the field for a touchdown and swung the momentum back into the favor of the Rebels, and they kept it the rest of the day. It was really impressive.
I honestly could not believe that they put Jackson Dart back in that football game.
You know what? And when they did, I thought it was a huge mistake, and he balled out.
Well, the lefty came in and looked really, really good. And look, I mean, Dart was obviously not 100%, and he came in and finished out the game, sure. But, yeah, I mean, to Ty's point, though, about Lane Kiffin, again, I'm still on the train of, man, he'd be an idiot to leave. Like, why would you leave Oxford where again, they're never going to fire him?
Legitimately, what would be available? Maybe Florida State?
Well, I don't think Norvell's done just yet. I mean, they've got him to – he did just clean house. He fired both of his coordinators this weekend.
You know, so for
I don't think he's done yet.
Not going back to USC. I mean, I don't think – I mean, so what would be coming available that would be enticing to him and then really now that much bigger a step up? The NFL, I don't think he's going back to that. I think he's found his niche.
If
over
he keeps
at Ole
having
Miss,
success in college, he probably won't go.
You know,
back.
I would think the only program now that Florida has decided, and boy, I did call that one wrong. I thought that Billy Napier would keep that one within the point range.
Yeah.
They got it was 21-0 5 minutes in the game.
Yeah, that was brutal.
You gotta wonder too, if they're not kind of thinking to themselves, why did we announce that?
I wonder, dude, no shot they walk back, right? No shot.
Ain't
they,
no way.
Ain't no way
they
Florida
say
would
take
that
the
back.
Train if Lane Kiffin called him and said, I want to come down to Gainesville, right?
Ain't no way they'd do that.
But if you just kind of take a quick glimpse around college football, and this is just off the top of my head, Florida State's probably the most prestigious program that there would be a possibility of being an opening on that would be enticing enough for Lane Kiffin to come there. And is that really that much a better job than Ole Miss right now?
What about like a UCLA? I know they just hired that dude. He's in year one.
I don't think it's a better job.
I don't think it is either. What about a Penn State if they do finally move on from James Franklin?
They're not going to do that.
Tennessee? They're not moving on from Heupel.
He's already been there.
I know, but I'm naming programs.
So
I don't know.
You just kind of start going through the teams, and you're like, what's really out there that's that much better than Ole Miss right now?
I don't know. I don't think there's many. I really don't.
I don't either.
And I think he'd be dumb to leave. That's just my opinion. Hey, we got to get to break. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network joins us after this.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. We get to the phone lines because this guy's joining us back on the show. Been a couple of weeks, but glad to have him back on. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. How are you on this Monday, my man?
I am doing well. It's obviously a beautiful day in Auburn, and coming off a big basketball win, it's hard to beat the vibes of that.
Well, with no football game to talk about, we'll get into bye week scenarios, some of the things Hugh Freeze had to say today in his press conference, and what Auburn can expect to do in the final three games of the season. But it would be rude and borderline wrong to not start with what happened in Houston on Saturday night as the Tigers go on the road. I don't care what anybody says. That was a road game for Auburn basketball. Mm-hmm. They go downtown Houston at the Toyota Center, Jabari Smith's house, and they walk out with a 5-point win over the number one team ranked in KenPom. Auburn takes them down and is now a top five team in the country.
Yeah, and it's the best win that has happened in the nation so far this season. Obviously, that'll change. We're 1 week into the college basketball season. But nonetheless, that is a game that's going to it's going to be in the mind of the selection committee when we get to selection Sunday all the way in March in a few months here. So that is just a win that Auburn and, quite frankly, the SEC hasn't been able to grab in the last few years. I think it's probably the biggest win, biggest non-conference road or neutral site win in Auburn's history, and especially since Bruce Pearl has gotten to the Plains. And it really was just elite basketball on both ends of the floor. It was a Final Four type of game between Auburn and Houston. And like you said, the fact that it was in Houston, it was pretty much a road game. There was obviously a great number of Auburn fans. I think 2,500 was the number that was said to have been in attendance. That's a great help for sure, but overwhelmingly a Houston crowd. But obviously, Jahni Broome, he gets SEC Player of the Week. And then you have Tahad Pettiford, who burst onto the scene with his breakout performance. He scored 0 points against Vermont in the season opener. Didn't have a bad game, but he did foul out, and he was able to do well running the offense. And then against Houston, he lights it up with his three-point shooting, and that's something that Auburn hasn't seen from his guards in a couple of years. So it's really nice that that happened, and obviously you had plenty of other performances. Chad Baker Mazzara, he came through in the clutch at the end. You know, I thought, interesting, that throughout the game, I thought, okay, the free throw shooting is not quite what it needs to be. But then in the final minute, Auburn goes 6 for 6 from the free throw line with three different guys making free throws. So I just felt like it was all around an incredible game for Auburn. And the second half shooting performance was as good as you could have asked for. And that's how you get a win against a top five, top three team in the country.
Jacob Hill and Auburn Sports Network. Kelvin Sampson, Houston head coach, after the game, it's certainly not a bad loss for us, and said had Auburn lost, it would not have been a bad loss for them. That's a heck of a statement from an experienced head coach. And he goes on further to talk about Tahad Pettiford. Quote, the kid I thought that went in and changed the game for them was Pettiford. I thought he was really, really good. He changed the game. I mean, is this a one-and-done type talent here, Jacob?
I think it's very interesting because obviously there have been some comparisons made, but you look back at the exhibition games where you go to Furman and then you host Florida Atlantic. And in both of those games, Sahab averaged 12.5 points in those two matchups. Obviously, Vermont, he scored 0, but in the three of the four games, he scored in double figures and is showing his elusiveness and how elite he is. I think that the difference for him is that he's able to get to the basket. He's able to make things happen. So it opens up the three-point shot, and it's not the only thing he can do. So I'm excited for Tahad. I'm excited for the rest of this team. I thought another guy that's taking a leap so far, I look at the closing lineup as a very good indicator of what this team is made of, and Chaney Johnson coming in and doing what he did in 30 minutes of action shows me that he has taken a Jalen Williams type leap and is going to be a guy for Auburn. And he had a double-double. No one's talking about that, but I think Chaney Johnson is another key for this Auburn team to be elite, to be in that top of the SEC, top of the nation conversation.
Yeah, I think Chaney Johnson is one of the X factors, if it's okay to say that, just because he's such a known commodity, but he's also one of the guys that Auburn is going to rely on. I think he's going to end up being one of the most consistent players. I think between him and Jahni Broome, Hillman, you're going to have those two guys that you can rely on almost every night. Jahni to get you between 15 and 20, Chaney to get you probably 10 and 5. I think asking him to get a double-double every game's a lot, but if he wants to do that, by all means. But with Pettiford, I think he has become the young, talented freshman guard that Auburn has been looking for since Jared Harper walked off this campus, right? You had Sharif Cooper. You just didn't get him for very long. You had him for, what, 12 games in his Auburn career? And then, yeah, you had Wendell. I don't think that ever got to where you wanted it to be. Of course, we know with Aiden Holloway, who's playing in a different uniform now. I think Pettiford, I think that's what Auburn fans saw Saturday night, was this could be the freshman guard that Bruce has been waiting for.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. This is the prototypical guard that Bruce Pearl likes to recruit, and I just think that Tejada has what it takes to run the offense and really do what he has to do. It also helps when you have 10 seniors surrounding you, and that's the roster that's the roster makeup you have. Obviously, you look at the future next year, you only have two guys locked up right now. But for this season, yeah, I think that Pettifer has a great chance to continue the success. Is he going to go 5-for-8 from three every single night? No. Is he going to score 21 points every night? No. But the good thing is he had someone like Miles Kelly who he went nuclear against Vermont on Wednesday night in the season opener. He only scored 5 points against Houston, and you still get the win. So it's a give-and-take thing. It doesn't have to be the same guy every night. I think, like you said, Jani Broome and Chaney Johnson, you can find consistency with them, and Jani is your superstar. He's going to be in the National Player of the Year conversations. But outside of that, it doesn't have to be Tejada Pettiford every night. It doesn't have to be Chad Baker-Mazar every night. Denver Jones, I haven't even mentioned his name tonight. I think in the first two games, Denver Jones and J.P. Pegues have played incredible defense. They have not combined for a single foul in the first two games of action, and that's nearly 80 minutes.
Wow.
So that's something to keep an eye on as well. This defense is not slacking off from previous seasons. The KenPom the ratings, that has been the telltale sign. Obviously, Auburn started off as number three team in the KenPom rating, and now they're number one, and that's because of the defense.
Pivoting over to Auburn football off the bye week, Jacob, it's obviously been a extremely disappointing season, to say the least. Louisiana Monroe comes to town a couple weeks ago, seemed to be a more dangerous team than they are right now after a couple of losses. Where is Auburn football right now, and what's the pathway forward to just at least some immediate success to end the season?
Right, and yeah, I think it's you're in an interesting spot where you've got a 3-6 record, and you can make a bowl game with ULM on the table this week, and then obviously you have two much more difficult matchups against Texas A&M and Alabama. But like you said, the most important thing is just building momentum for this offseason, and whether that includes a bowl game or not, that remains to be determined. And going to Bryant-Denny Stadium is going to be a tough one. I think when you have this 6:30 or 6:45 start time for Texas A&M, you're set up for success there. It doesn't matter what the record is. Jordan-Hare Stadium is going to show up and be rocking, especially for its lone night game of the season and in a premier matchup. So I just think that getting back on track, I think this team has hopefully gotten a little bit more healthy from the last few weeks and is ready to go for these last 3 weeks. And it starts with ULM and really establishing what you want your game plan to be. I know that Coach Freeze mentioned that Peyton Thorne didn't practice last week with that shoulder injury, but regardless, you need to have a plan ready that you can kind of rock for the final three games of the season. And I think that's what this coaching staff is figuring out after the loss of Vanderbilt.
Well, so many fans a week ago during the bye week were questioning, all right, who's going to play quarterback moving forward? Since, look, nothing against Peyton Thorne. I think a lot of people would say he hasn't played all that bad, but the wins have not come consistently, right? And so as the season winds down, you're in that spot now where you can play a guy like a Walker White without burning a red shirt and things like that. And then, as you mentioned, Freeze's comments today about Peyton not practicing last week because of a shoulder injury. I mean, is it the worst thing in the world to try somebody else at quarterback, Hillman, in your thoughts?
I don't know. Like you said, I don't think Peyton has played poorly in the last month. I think since that Oklahoma game, and even that Oklahoma game, besides the pick six that he threw, I thought he was great in that game. And since then, he's done a good job at taking care of the football. And it might not be the dynamic playmaking that you'd like to see from the most important position on the field, but he is getting the job done as far as his specific role. And I think that you got to continue to rely on Jarquez Hunter. And I think that performance he had against Kentucky, he can do against. Obviously, we know he can do it against ULM. He can do it against Texas A&M, and I think he could do it for a third week in a row at Alabama. It's all about not becoming too predictable, though. And I just go back to that Kentucky game, and I look back, and I thought that Auburn did an incredible job of mixing up the play call. And yes, Jarquez Hunter got plenty of carries, but he wasn't successful just because Auburn was feeding him the football. It was because in the passing game, Auburn was taking what the defense gave them. So I do think it starts this week against ULM and getting comfortable back to that game plan that works so well in Lexington.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of talk today and a question to Freeze about play calling. How will it change? Will it change? He says it's a combination of play callers handling the offense this season. Has there been any talk about at least doing kind of what Alabama did against LSU and playing to a strength and going more run heavy the rest of the season, Jacob?
Yeah. Again, I think that is probably the plan, and I think that's the idea. But it's figuring out how to perfect that. You don't want to become too predictable, as I said, and I think you can be somewhat predictable. I think that this offense and the offensive line, most importantly, has what it takes to really just ground and pound it, even if the defense kind of knows what's coming. But I think that this team does certainly want to make sure they keep throwing it through the air and keep the defense on its toes. So I hope that it does lean a little bit more run heavy this week and in the next 2 weeks. But I do think that there is a need for whoever the quarterback is and these wide receivers to make some plays downfield and open things up that way.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us most Mondays here on ESPN 106.7. Give us an update about what's happening around Auburn athletics. Just about 5 minutes ago, there was an announcement about Auburn soccer. Yes. They're in the tournament, and they're going to be dancing at home.
That's right. Auburn soccer will be hosting FIU on Friday night at 6 Central. That's at the Auburn Soccer Complex. The opening round of the NCAA tournament. I think the Tigers are a 6 seed on their quadrant of the bracket. So that's a big deal for Karen Hoppe and this team. They're looking to try to make a deep run into the NCAA tournament. Not a disappointing SEC tournament, but that really gave this team a chance to really regroup, get healthy, and ready for the postseason that is really important. That's the national postseason. Tonight, we'll talk it over with Coach Hoppe on Tiger Talk, as well as Coach Freeze at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. Wings 94.3. You're listening on the radio, and we'll get you set for ULM and FIU this upcoming weekend. And then it's basketball. Wednesday, Auburn hosts Kent State. Andy Burks from Randall Dickey, Brad Law will have the call. That's an airtime of 6:30. Thursday, women's basketball. I don't know if you saw the score on Friday night, but Auburn won by 92. That was the largest margin of victory in Auburn women's basketball history.
Yes.
So they'll be back in action against Little Rock on Thursday at 7 at Neville Arena, and then volleyball will also be in action on Friday, hosting Texas at 6:30 Central. So this weekend, especially starting Wednesday, it really gets started in a hurry, and it's going to be a busy weekend on the plane. So get out and support the Tigers, and we'll have a lot of the coverage on the Auburn Sports Network as well.
All that happening and more on the Auburn Sports Network and around Auburn Athletics. Jake, appreciate your time. As always, plug where they can find everything they need to know in terms of the broadcast for you guys at the Auburn Sports Network.
Yep, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU and follow at AU Sports Network. With so much going on, that's a really good spot to check out those details and find where to listen for every single event coming up in the next coming weeks.
Awesome, man. Hey, appreciate your time. Have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks for having me. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us on the shows on Mondays with so much happening around Auburn Athletics. Always good to get updates from him. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Shout out to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network for joining us, as he does most Mondays here during On the Line. Hey, before we get out of here, I want to shout out our Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. It was once again Auburn High School's Omar Mapson Jr., the young man, number 29 for Auburn High School. Uncle T-Bone, he had 5 rushing touchdowns on Friday night in the first round of the playoffs to help Auburn High School take down Bob Jones 63-27. They move on to the quarterfinals. Omar Mapson is your Orthopedic Clinic High School Player of the Week. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. They also sponsor the second hour of our show each and every day.
I mean, he had like 150 yards in the first quarter, man.
Oh, it's unbelievable. He's about 100 yards away. He has already broken
Baller.
The single-season rushing touchdown record at Auburn High. He has also become the career touchdown rushing leader at Auburn High. And he's about 100 yards away from being the all-time rushing leader at Auburn High School. And he's a junior.
I mean, it's remarkable. Just remarkable. Heck of an athlete. That Auburn High team is nasty good. There's a real reason why they're number one in the state. Hosting Thompson this weekend, that ought to be a big-time matchup.
Yes, huge Friday night expected. At the Duck. Yep, Auburn and Thompson. I've been telling people, I think it's the biggest game that's ever taken place at Duck-Sanford Stadium.
It's not bigger than that 1984 flag football Sugar Bowl I was in, Patriots versus Broncos, I can tell you that.
Sorry, second biggest.
But, I mean, I know Omar Mabson Jr. gets all the credit in the world and deserves it. The quarterback over there, too, is somebody at Auburn looking for a quarterback?
Yeah, did somebody say Auburn needs a new quarterback? Kilgore is playing out of his mind right now.
Good Lord.
And that offensive line gives him so much time to throw.
It's just a bunch of ball hawks. I mean, I love it. I mean, it's just fantastic football. The coordination of the plays over there, I mean, they're running like 20 different sets. It's probably more complicated than some other offenses I've seen this year. Better executed. Did I say something?
Lean into the mic when you talk.
Oh, sorry about that. Just a beatdown of Bob Jones Friday night, and a little chippy Bob Jones from Madison, Alabama, North Alabama, thought they were going to come in and try and push Auburn High around. I don't think so, Bob Jones. Y'all take it back to North Alabama, getting beat by – I mean, we put 60 on them.
And could have been 100 if they wanted to. So, yes, Auburn High beats Bob Jones in the first round of the playoffs. And since Thompson also won, the Warriors of Thompson come to town to take on the Tigers inside of Duck-Sanford Stadium. That is Friday night. On the other side of our bracket, it is Enterprise who takes down the one seed Austin. That's the four seed Enterprise who takes down the one seed Austin. They get Baker at home in the second round. And so here's how the playoffs are going to play out here. If Auburn High wins, right, obviously they'll be in the semifinals. If it is Baker that wins against Enterprise, Auburn will go to Baker for the semis. If Enterprise beats Baker and moves on to the semis, Auburn will get to host Enterprise at Duck-Sanford Stadium for the state semifinals. So not only are we Tiger fans, we're also, for 1 week and 1 week only, we are Enterprise Wildcat fans. Remember, that's an Enterprise team that Auburn hung 50-plus on at Enterprise way back early in the year.
Man.
On the other side, Opelika is going to Hoover this week.
That Opelika team's playing some good football. That's a dangerous trip up there to Birmingham. Hoover's a pretty good football team this year.
Yes, they are. Hoover's always a good team. So Opelika will be playing at Hoover. And Central will be hosting Vestavia Hills. Remember that team that Auburn beat badly in week two of the year? Yeah, they're rocking and rolling now in 7A playoffs. They take a trip to Central Phoenix City.
Okay, good luck with that.
I predict that it will be a full Region 2 semifinals. I think Auburn High will play Enterprise, and I think Central will play Opelika.
Well, that's just crazy.
Isn't that wild? There's a possibility of it, and then you'd have a possibility of Auburn either playing, if they get that far, Auburn High School, either playing Central or Opelika for a state championship.
God, could you imagine Auburn and Opelika in the state championship game in Birmingham?
These two towns would not be able to handle it. Do we shut down that Wednesday, December 4th? Can we just shut down the state? Is it 4th or 5th? I can't
you
remember.
Talk about wild December 4th. Times. Oh, my. That'd be like Auburn. Well, it wouldn't be as bad as Auburn and Alabama playing for a championship in basketball this year, but it would be pretty incredible. Both communities would just be lit. I mean, heck, it's really just one big city now anyway.
I'm telling you, they're just flooding into each other. It's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, what happens also in a few years when another high school is built in Auburn and then probably a third 5 to 10 years after that? But, hey, hopefully I'll be around and on the radio to talk. That'll just be a region itself, right?
That's right. Hey, speaking of Auburn High, really quickly, basketball season is here. We had our first broadcast on Thursday. We have another broadcast coming up tonight. I'm heading over to Auburn High School right now. As soon as I get off the air, the Tigers host Percy Julian, the Phoenix from Montgomery, are coming to town. Girls and boys are getting started early tonight. Girls start at 5, boys start at 6:30. All of that on the Auburn High Sports Network. Basketball is on 96.3 WLEE, 963WLEE.com. Or for those of you that have our Radio Alabama app, you can listen to everything right there. So be sure you tune in to that. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4. Christian Griffin joins me as well. Lots more football and basketball conversation. And T-Bone, you're back on Friday, my friend.
Yeah, we'll be back on Friday. We'll preview Louisiana Monroe. Hopefully Auburn can get off the schneid, get to 4 wins. Be previewing all the rest of the SEC as well, like we normally do, and going around the top 25. Didn't get a real chance to talk about BYU and Miami today. There's so much action going on in sports right now, it's hard to get it all in.
But we'll get to it tomorrow.
We will all get to it on Friday for sure, breaking down the weekend. Thanks for having me, Jacob.
That's right. Back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.